The ability to think makes a man content with who and what he is at all times. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. The ability to think makes a man content with who and what he is at all times. We all have the ability to think, and we all have the ability to live in our thought. We all have the ability to have any thought we wish. Now, you're coming home from the office, and you've been told that there's some special news for you when you get home. It's a surprise because it's supposed to be something real special. Not bad, but you're real special. And you think, what is that news that I'm going to hear when I get home? And so you have the privilege of creating that news anything you want. You say, oh my goodness, we've won the sweepstakes. Oh my goodness, my mother-in-law is not coming to visit. Oh my goodness, the kids all got straight A's in school. Oh my goodness, the dog just had a dozen baby pups, and every one of them is just as gorgeous as the mama. And you know, you think of all the possible good things that you can do to them. Just go on with them. Go on with them. And then when you get home, you find everything that you thought about, that was part of the good stuff. They didn't know which was going to be thought good for you. They thought, the kids thought the puppies were good. And Mama thought that her mother not coming to visit, as far as you were concerned, was good. And you see, what is good is relative to the person who's saying it. And to you, just to know that you have a loving family who like to give you surprises, good surprises, is good too. And that's something that you work on. The ability to think makes a man content with who and what he is at all times. We have the ability to think good thoughts at all times. We have the ability to put into motion for ourselves whatever it is we'd like to have. Now, I'm going to give a seminar at Christmas time on the story of Jesus. And it's going to be the story of Jesus from many sources. And the story of Jesus is going to make him a very live, real, wonderful, fantastic being for each of us. Because he's going to come alive not as somebody that, untouchable, unreachable, but someone who says that we too can do all the things that he does. Someone who says, hey, the magic that I do is not really magic. I merely put a cause in motion, and I believed it. And I'm going to teach you how to believe it too. Now, you see, as I think about this seminar, I'm going to be speaking in about 18 lectures, 18-hour lectures, and it's going to be just loads of fun. And people are going to be sitting there on the edge of their seat thinking, what's going to come next? What's Jesus going to do next? Not that they don't know the story of Jesus and the story of his life, but the way I tell it, they're going to say, what's coming next? My goodness sakes. Is he really going to do that or not? You know, and you know what he's going to do, but we make it sound more adventurous. And that's the fun of doing things. Now, we have the ability to think, and this makes us content with who and what we are at all times, because we can think that we are wonderful people. Now, is there something wrong with that? I think that's a great idea. We think that we are wonderful people. We think that we are creative people. Now that's cool, isn't it? We think that we can create anything we want to create in the whole universe, in any idea as far out in our consciousness as we can. And we can do it. So much is being done in science these days that a few years ago was said can't be done. And I love the medical science. Because 1 minute they say butter is good, and the next minute they say butter is bad. 1 minute they say salt is good, and the next minute they say salt is bad. And they cannot make up their mind. But of course, what they're doing is they're sharing with us what their thought is at the moment. Now, they're doing honorable things, good things, but as they're doing these things, more and more things are being revealed. And as Mr. Crick was working on consciousness, he's a very astute scientist who just recently moved on to his next dimension, and until he started working on consciousness, it had been thought something that only the mystics and only the impractical people thought about. To put consciousness into a real realm, that consciousness does exist. Well, now, we in the metaphysical field have no problem with that. We've believed that for a long time. But in the scientific field, where you have to have proofs of things, when Mr. Crick was working on these things, he was coming up with proofs. And as his friend said of him, if he were just given another 10 years, he would have come up with the full program, fully bloomed and fully beautiful, and now it's going to be for somebody else to come up with. But the fact is, he led the way to the possibility it can be done. Now, you say, well, what's so big deal about that? Well, there are areas of our consciousness, there are areas of our thinking that we think things cannot be done. We think that they're just too grand and too outrageous to be done. And so we give up thinking about it. And we think about the mundane, ordinary things. Like a person comes home from work and he says to his wife and family, well, had another good day at the office. And the wife says, did you ask for a raise? And he says, no, no, I'm content with what I have. You see, he didn't feel he could ask for a raise because he felt that he would be shaking the boat and jeopardizing his position. But when a man knows his worth and he knows that he should really be earning more money, not that he should be, but that his work that he's doing deserves a greater salary, what does he do? Here we say, the ability to think makes a man content with who and what he is at all times. So now, what does he say? He says, I now have a salary commensurate with my talent and what I'm doing. I now have a wonderful, abundant salary. I now have a salary that makes me happy, pleases my wife, and pleases my circumstance. I now have a good salary. Now, he doesn't say a number, because the minute he says a number, then he limits himself. But you see, if he is always thinking, I have a wonderful salary, then as the years go by, that salary will continue to expand and expand in keeping with his wonderful talents and abilities and what the job calls for. Now you see, in any business, the business figures that any job, you can afford to pay so much to do that job. And more than that, you can't afford to pay because the business won't make any money. And the business has to make a certain percentage of money off of whatever it does. And if it doesn't make that percentage, it's not going to do it. So figured into that is what a job should, what a job could cost. If you can get it cheaper, all the better. But for that particular job, X number of dollars is a wage that we can pay, the top wage. And anything below that is all the better. So you try to keep the salary down as much as possible. But when a person puts the cause in motion that I am paid commensurate with my work, then there is no keep the salary down. The idea is that you pay for it. And what happens when you pay the salary commensurate with the work that's being done? then that person or that job all of a sudden changes. And it becomes more valuable because it is doing the work of many people who are no longer needed, because this way that the job is being done, it sort of cuts out some jobs. Now you say, that's not very nice. Well, yes, the jobs will come up somewhere else. But the point is, that job becomes all the more valuable. And being more valuable, it has a higher salary to it. And that's not bad. Now, who in their fondest, most idiotic, most crazy dream would ever think that an executive of a company would be paid bonus of $6-8 million a year and a salary easily $1 or $2 million a year? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine such a thing? I mean, years ago that would have been totally off the wall, but today it isn't. But you see, you and I are thinking of years ago. Would you go down to the beach and buy a house for $60,000 or $100,000 today? I remember when I sold houses at the beach for $60,000 and $100,000, and I thought, wow, am I doing great. I said, we get some of these Israelis, some of these Iraqians over here, and they got all that oil money, and they'll pay wonderfully for these houses. Let's raise the price. So we raised the price to $120,000, and they would have paid $500,000. And so the price eventually went up, and the cost of living went up, and other things. Well, today, buying homes along the beach for $1 million each is not unusual, and the homes are not all that fantastic. They're nice, but they're not so grand. You see, we have to readjust our thinking as to what the value is. When a man is earning a $3 million bonus for doing a job, that would be like earning $300,000 bonus a number of years ago. Because the way that the value of the money is, it's quite changed. So you see, the ability to think makes a man content with who and what he is at all times. It's not a matter that we get more money. It's a matter that we're paid commensurate with our talent. And when we can think, we can have our talent be anything we want it to be and anywhere we want it to be. And wonderful things take place. And we look at numbers, we look at incidences, we look at circumstances, and we say, how very interesting. How very interesting. They had a drop of 4% in the use of grains from farmers this past year because so many people were going on diets that didn't include that. The Atkins diet and so forth, you know. And so to the farmer, that was a great loss. That was a great loss. 70 million tons of grain were not produced and were not spread around. And you see, it's just a simple little thing, but somebody said, this is what makes the world go round. This is what makes you thinner, by not using these particular grains. And so you can see how many people jump on the fad bandwagon when it comes along. And now maybe next year, this year, they'll say grains are a vital and necessary part of a human existence, and they have nothing to do with adding weight or reducing weight. They are merely a normal, valuable substance in our diet. You follow me?
Yeah.
And so it changes according to whatever it is. And so where last year the farmers suffered, next year they may just go overboard, you know, and the 2% loss that they had, the 4% loss that they had was nothing, and they will have maybe about a 20% gain, which is quite remarkable, you know. So, you see, this is what we think. The ability to think makes a man content with who and what he is at all times. We have the ability to think, I am abundant, I am healthy, I am happy. And I was saying before, I have the Christmas seminar coming up, the story of Jesus. And I'm thinking to myself, shall I say I am spiritually illumined as I give this story? Or shall I say, as I do before all of my seminars, this is one of the greatest, most exciting, most uplifting seminars I've ever given without limitation.
Exactly.
And
yes.
You see, then it's done. And that's what's been happening.
Right.
Everybody's been saying, gosh, this is better than anything you did before. And I enjoyed it too. But yet, it was not a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a searching for content, not a searching for ideas. They just flowed. And then after I stopped, they kept flowing. Because in the discussion period, it was like giving another absolutely fresh and full lecture. Remember how it went on during our special times? And fortunately, we've recorded all that for anybody who cares to listen. But you got to really care to listen. Being there was fun. But think about it. The ability to think makes a man content with who and what he is at all times. So, think your thoughts, dream your dreams, and have a wonderful life. Because you're the absolute philosopher, and you might as well enjoy yourself. I love you, I love you, I love you.
Love you.